The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good speech.
Nice and short.
Leaves more time for drinking. Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Here, here, drink up. We'll never finish the other three.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and I welcome you to another version of the show that's all about the grape in all its glory. Everything from the vine to the bottle to the label to the packaging. And that's what we're going to look at today because we had such a dynamic show last week. For those of you who are loyal listeners to The Crush, you will recall that Dan Cohn of BR Cohn Wineries reached out to you, the grand listeners of The Wine Crush, to ask you whether or not they should be changing their package to screw caps or to leave it with the normal cork closure they have now. Well, we have had an avalanche of phone calls and emails and everything in between. And I do say everything in between. Interesting commentary, some of you, about what they should be doing. So today, we're going to have kind of a roundabout show where we talk about packaging, we talk about the screw caps, we talk about a little bit of everything. But right now, I'm just hopeful all of you survived the 4th with all of your digits intact. I hope everyone had a good time and enjoyed celebrating our forefathers and our independence. However, something does come to mind with me as I think about my 4th. For those of you who know me, my 4th of July revolved around a company picket and softball. And anytime you think about me playing softball, I can see Kent smiling from behind the glass now.
Did you say a company picket? Were you picketing your company or was it a picnic?
I was wondering how many people were sharp enough to pick up on that because I certainly picketed this whole event all the way through.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, you're clever, Kent. You're not as distracted today as I thought you were.
Not as dumb as I look.
There you go. Blonde and all. Anyway, so I have to have my 4th of July surrounded by softball. So, of course, for those of you who have checked out me on the Facebook page, that's Laura Berg Lawson or Wine Crush 1, you will know that when it comes down to sports, my sports involve, one, if I can keep my glass of wine upright, and two, if I can keep my cigarette lit. So past that, I'm not really interested in anything that involves physical contact. So, of course, drink more, it will all go away was my motto for the 4th. So, of course, I'm on my little cliche run here right now. I will remind you of my favorite quote for that holiday. For those of you who drank a fifth on the 4th, you may not have come forth on the 5th. And I definitely bowed into that this weekend. Apparently, so did a lot of other people. Ergo, the ideas for the roundabout show that we are going to have today. But since as long as I am talking about drinking, I celebrated our forefathers in my own personal special Wine Crush way. For those of you who know the history of Napa Valley, you know that Mike Gergich and Joe Heitz were some of the founding fathers of Napa Valley, and that's exactly where our wine recommendations are coming from this week. For Chardonnay, I had to get my hands on Gergich Hill Chardonnay, one of the legends of Napa Valley, involved, of course, in the exposition in 1976 against the French, which whipped them soundly. The Chardonnay today is tasting exceptional. It has that great American oak. It has that great apple and pear, lovely vanilla balance. And I swear I got a hint of cinnamon off this. The wine is great. It was refreshing, and it was great with barbecue and anything we took off the grill. So for those of you out there looking for something unique, Gergich Hill Chardonnay from Napa Valley. Now, of course, if you're going to have barbecue and you're going to have burgers and you're going to have the sausages and such, you have to have a red wine. And I decided as long as I was going to go Gergich, I was going to go Heitz. Heitz is another founding property off Highway 29 in Napa Valley. They're known for their single vineyard wines, Bella Oak, Trailside, Martha's Vineyard. Of course, Martha, named after George Washington's wife, Martha, gives it the whole element of 4th of July. No, not really, but it sounded great to add to my theme. Anyway, Heitz Napa Cabernet, even though their single vineyards tend to be expensive, they do a Napa Valley Cabernet that is out of this world. It is the epitome of what Napa should be. It has that great dust flavor to it, nice vanilla, has that rich red ripe fruit with undercurrents of currant, chocolate, everything you could ask for in a Cabernet. Slipped nicely into a styrofoam cooler and dropped to about 65 degrees. It was a very good match for everything coming off the grill as well. So for those of you out shopping for the two landmarks of Napa, Gurgit Chardonnay, Heights Cabernet, you can't have a better pair. But speaking of wine recommendations, we have to talk a little bit about wine as a whole in the sense of what we have asked you to do. And since Kent doesn't seem to be paying attention, we'll get off on this.
I'm paying attention. I'm right here.
Of course. Well, we'll see. Last week, the impact of screwing, do you like it or not, since Kent's the one that brought it up? We were looking at our poll that we ask all of you to check out on winecrush.com. Are you for screw caps or are you against them? Right now, 68% of you are for screw caps. And I think that shows where this country is going, whether you're from Napa Valley, whether you're from Matua Valley, whether you're from New Zealand, it doesn't matter. I think everyone is looking for a better way to close a bottle of wine in which that the wine is not going to be bad, it's not going to be spoiled, it's not going to be, quote, unquote, corked. And also, it's going to be easier. Embarrassingly enough, in the picnic I was telling you about, we had all this lovely wine out there, and it took us an hour to locate someone who actually had a corkscrew on them. So the whole time we were sitting out at our little company picnic, we were all thinking, wow, if these were all screw caps, we wouldn't be sitting here with nothing to drink right now. So that is my argument for screw caps for those of us who are dumb enough not to pack well.
I'll be honest with you. I watched somebody at a 4th of July picnic struggling with a corkscrew. And I thought to myself at that point, yeah, screw caps, way to go.
There you go. Kent, you didn't get up and offer assistance?
No, I don't know what I'm doing with a corkscrew either.
Okay, good to know.
I have no idea. I know how to leave little pieces of the cork in the wine when I use one, so I just try not to use one.
All right, for all of our listeners out there who are listening to the Wine Crush, the people producing it don't know even how to operate a screw cap, know nothing about wine. This should make you feel better. At least somebody somewhere knows something about what goes in the glass. But I encourage all of you, the poll is not done yet. We are still trying to figure out and to relay to BR Cone whether or not they should switch their packaging. So the poll is still up on the website. Please vote. You can find it at winecrush.com. Front page, rise it pops up. You will have your poll on the lower right-hand side. And we'd love to hear your comments as to why you're voting one way or the other. You can do that at winecrush.com. Or you can now send an email to lauralawson@winecrush.com. LauraLawson at winecrush.com. What's fun about this is Kent or a producer won't be screening it beforehand, which means they can't.
These.
Yeah, they won't be able to screen my answers either. So for those of you feeling brave, and especially for all my French friends out there, please bring it on. It'll be fun. But also, finally, you can find us at Wine Crush, the group on Facebook. We'd really like to get a discussion going on this and show to BR Cone that we are definitely their best angle to figuring out whether or not they should change their packaging. Well, what was interesting is people were doing their polls. They had some comments back and forth on why things should either be changed or should remain the same. So throughout the show, I'm going to throw a couple of these in here just so you can get an idea of what all your compatriots are thinking. We have Keisha in Washington. Keisha writes, I really don't see what the big deal is. If screw caps are cheaper and better products, then why not use them? Well, that's logical. I like the pragmatist in you. Of course, they are less expensive, as Dan pointed out. You don't have to change the whole bottle line, and they don't cost as much as cork, and they protect your investment. I agree with that. However, Calvin in Wisconsin writes, it's just not the same. All of our history is being watered down, and etiquette and customs are going by the wayside. I will only support the wineries who understand the value of presentation of a bottle. Now, I think I made myself fairly clear in the last show. I am for screw caps for those wines that are pretty much under $35 a bottle. I think that they serve the purpose. I think they make it easier on all of us. And I think that it actually adds to the enjoyment of wine, especially after your third bottle, you can't quite get the corkscrew to work. See, Ken, I can relate to you, but I usually have to drink more at that point. But Calvin, honestly, when you're looking at the whole presentation, you're kind of the people that have killed the wine business in this sense. All the mystique, all the mystery that astounds wine and gets around it, and people get confused by it. The presentation scares people. I like the idea of a screw cap because it takes away the snob appeal. There's no more of this presentation of the cork. There's no more little silver liners. There's no more people fondling corks or smelling corks and trying to make a big to-do out of it. Do I expect this on my Bordeaux and my Burgundies? Yes, but I understand what I'm getting into when I order my Bordeaux and my Burgundies. I know what's expected of me when they put the cork down to my right. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know how to work my way through that whole system. But if you were to effectively look at the general public, those that drink wine and those that are listening to the show right now, how many could honestly say they knew exactly how that was supposed to run? And for people who don't know exactly what they're getting into, how often are they going to take the chance to do it? I don't know about you. I can make a fool of myself often enough on my own. I don't need anyone's help to do it. So if I can take that one step away from the average wine consumer who's wanting to learn more and to take the fear factor out of it, then I am all for it. What actually has been interesting, Calvin, as much as I hate to admit it, I do ascribe to the sommelier practices. I am a sommelier myself, is the confusion that is resulting from screw caps. All the sommelier who are used to all this custom and etiquette, as you put it, they don't know what to do anymore. All of a sudden, they're coming to the table. They have the little top. They crack it. That's the end of that. You don't necessarily want to set the cap on the table. Does the person really care about how the aluminum is handled? Probably not. You don't know whether to put it in your pocket. You don't have to wipe the top of it anymore. So actually, Calvin, if you want to have a little bit of fun, reach out to the Sommelier Guild and see what they have to say in the whole thing. Because it's been interesting checking out how they're going to look at presenting the cork or not presenting the cork in the future. Perhaps your customs are going to change and you don't even know it yet. All right, we're off to a nice rambling start here at the Wine Crush, but we have to take a small break right now. And when we return, more interesting comments from you on to screw or not to screw.
Yes, America's favorite program will be back. You'll get more laughs, more fun, more thrills.
This is the Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the post 4th of July holiday version of the Wine Crush. What does that mean to you? That means it's all a little bit loosey-goosey around here, and we're trying to get people's head into the game while people are wandering in asking for jobs. So don't mind us. Don't mind the technical difficulties. We're going to have fun and ride on anyway. And as long as we're all being a little bit loosey-goosey around here, and this is, after all, Laura Lawson's Wine Crush, I'm going to get off the topic for half a second and just comment on part of my holiday. I need help from my Wine Crush listeners. I spend my time giving you great wine ideas. I try and teach you. I try and educate you. Now I need some in return. If there are any of you out there who have ever cleaned teak furniture, please call in to the Crush, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Anyone who happens to work for a teak manufacturing company, I have spent the last 48 hours of my life trying to clean 7 pieces of teak furniture. I have gone through 5 bottles of Chardonnay. That was just for me trying to get through the bleach and the cleaner and everything else. So since Kent hasn't been paying attention to my booth, that was my plea.
I have been paying attention. What did you do?
Well, I've tried Clorox. I have tried deck cleaner. It was just dirty.
Is it ruined now?
It's very interesting. It looks like a stripe modeled stray cat.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So my last resort is to think about gasoline, but somehow I think gasoline and flammable wood are probably not a good combination, particularly being a smoker. So anyone out there who could give me guidance or insight, it would be much, much, much appreciated, and I might even have to send you a Winecrest t-shirt. So call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1. That is my small little diatribe today, and I know right now y'all are listening because you want to hear about wine. And particularly right now, I think Tom from Atlanta wants to hear about wine, so I will get back on point. Tom, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laura. Love the show, as always. Quick question, and for the record, I voted for the screw cap online.
I'll continue talking to you then. I won't hang up on you.
Okay, thanks. When it comes to champagne or sparkling wine, can I save some for another day? We had guests over for July 4th and had opened up a couple of too many bottles of champagne. And I didn't know if you had to consume all that at one sitting or if there's a way I can save that. And if so, what's the best way to save that bottle of champagne maybe for another night?
Well, Tom, I'm going to give you kudos for bringing a whole new aspect of closures onto the show since that's what we're talking about. But I'm also going to totally reprimand you. Anytime you open a bottle of champagne, it must be for a worthy cause, which means you have to drink the last drop. So on that note, there are closures they make. You can get them at your local Megamark. They look like little spider wing things. And what they do is they actually help contain the pressure of the carbon dioxide that was in the champagne bottle. They'll run you about $4 a bottle, and I think they're worth it for the next time you decide to open a bottle of champagne and not to drink it. But for right now, there is probably not that much you can do. If you try and put a cork back in it, it's going to blow out. There is an old wives' tale out there, and I've gotten in an argument with people over this. If you have a sterling silver spoon in your house, and you take that spoon and you stick the handle in down in that bottle of champagne so that basically the top part of the spoon is hanging out and the other part is hanging in the bottle, there is some kind of chemical reaction in there that will keep the CO2 from leaking out. I know that people say this is an old wives' tale, but I have been desperate, and I have tried it, and it does work. So you might give that a shot, but for some strange reason, it has to be sterling. So if you can't have the spoon in your mouth, you might as well have it in your bottle.
Maybe that's the same spoon I can use to carve onions and keep from crying, too, at the same time.
See? It's amazing the things we can learn. Well, Tom, I hope you had a great 4th of July party, and I hope that gives you a little insight on what you can do with that bottle. But shame on you. Go make a mimosa.
We'll invite more friends next time.
There you go. All right. Well, yes, the wine business, unfortunately, is filled with all kind of wives' tales and such like that. Actually, that would be a fun show. So let's take a note. Let's do a show about wine and wives' tales. I can really get off on tangent and traumatize Kent then. All right, we need to get back on track, and right now we have another victim on the wine line. We have Ryan. Ryan, I have no idea where you're from, so I assume you're welcome on the Crush.
Thanks a lot. I'm from Virginia.
Okay, you're a good Southern boy. We'll let you go on today.
I voted online for going for bottles that have screw caps just because I think that screw caps, first of all, are a lot more convenient when you are trying to travel. Sometimes you don't have a wine cork always available to open a bottle.
It's really hard to drive and use the screw actually use the corkscrew
right.
at the same time.
Right.
But both hands on the wheels at all time, please.
But I'm in favor of it just because it's a lot easier to get into, and you don't have to worry about trying to have a wine tool if you go into a party or wherever you might go with the bottle.
I like the way you think. Ryan, I have a question, though. When you go to a restaurant and someone puts the little screw cap down in front of you, do you feel cheated?
No.
See?
No, because, I mean, I think that there are some really good wines. I've tasted really good wines that have screw caps.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you calling in and giving me your 2 cents worth. Anyone who agrees with me is always welcome.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right, Ryan, have fun. You know, it's been interesting. There's been a lot of people who call in. There's been a lot of people who give their 2 cents worth that say they're either for or against. But no one has really gotten off on a commentary about why they firmly believe it. It's either an easier factor or it's, you know, a custom and an etiquette factor. By the way, Kent told me, Calvin from Wisconsin, I was a little bit rough on you. Good. You deserved it. Sorry. Past that, when you start talking about screw caps, people don't really get off on tangents. We did get 2 really interesting emails, though, and these brought up sides of screw caps that even I hadn't thought about. This is from Noreen in Santa Rosa. She writes, "The main question for me is whether or not the screw caps are recyclable. With a winery being biodynamic, green, and organic, isn't it better to use natural products?" And honestly, Noreen, I haven't given this great in-depth thought. But you have to think about it for the wineries who are going for that certification. They want to have a great product all the way across. Of course, cork is natural, and it's a natural fit. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to get off on this at the start of the next segment. But Noreen, I have a great, great line for you. But yes, I think the tops of these things are recyclable, but there's a great thing to think about. And we will get back to that after we take a small break here at The Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and for those of you still listening, you know we're having our off-the-cuff packaging show to follow up from Dan Cohn asking you, our great Crush listeners, on whether they should switch from screw caps from their cork finished. So we ask you, for those of you who have not voted yet, please go to the website, winecrush.com, and put your 2 cents worth in there. Of course, I'd love to hear your commentary on why you're voting the way you're voting. We have a new avenue for you to do that now. You can reach me at lauralawson@winecrush.com, which, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be uncensored and unfiltered, and I might actually see them for a change. But secondly, you can also call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 and drop a call on the wine line. We love people on the wine line, and I promise not to deliberately mock you on air. Now, if I do it accidentally, that I take no responsibility for that. But before our break, I was about to address Nora in Santa Rosa. She wrote, "The main question for me is whether or not the screw caps are recyclable. With a winery being biodynamic, green, and organic, isn't it better to use natural products?" Well, Noreen, the screw caps and the tops they use, they are made generally of aluminum, and yes, they are recyclable. So for those of you who put your recycle bins out, as you know, I do not. You can put the glass on one side. You can put the tops with the cans. Just make sure you get the little metal tab off the bottom when you put your bottles in, and you'll be fine. So, Noreen, rest easy. You don't have to worry about the screw caps. However, as any chance there is a change in things, screw caps do have a major impact, apparently, in the environment. Screw cap wine bottles threaten rare species. This is from the Telegraph out of the UK. And it goes on to say, the trend for buying wine sealed with screw caps is threatening to kill off one of Europe's most important habitats. The cork oak forests, which cover 2.7 million hectares worldwide, and support rare species such as Iberian lynx, black storks, and booted eagles, are already disappearing in some area. What happens is, obviously, most of Portugal is where the cork trees are from. We talked about that last show. They're actually called cork oaks. Once again, laugh at me. Y'all try and say that fast really several times. Anyway, because the demand for cork is dropping, and because the fact that truly great corks, it takes 9 years for these trees to be able to grow their bark back to make it, Farmers are realizing the investment is not there, it's not worthwhile, and they're cutting down all these wonderful oak trees. Well, the problem is these oak trees are growing in land that really can't support anything else. So once they cut the trees down, it goes back to being desert. So the farmers are kind of in a bad situation all the way around. But apparently, since the demand for cork has decreased and we are leaning towards screw caps around the world, the Iberian lynx is in deep, deep trouble. Apparently, the only trees and the only habitat it blends into is the one from cork trees. I find it interesting that we haven't heard about any cork makers being attacked by these lynx, but you know, past that, it ought to be an interesting thing. So no matter what we do, whether a butterfly flaps its wings over in China, it seems like every great decision we make impacts somewhere else.
So you're telling me that if poor old Dan Cohn switches to screw caps, he will be responsible for wiping out an entire forest?
I've met Dan Cohn and spent a lot of time with Dan Cohn. Dan Cohn is responsible for wiping out a lot more than forests in his lifetime. Bless his heart. Dan, if you're listening, I do apologize. But seriously, it doesn't matter whether we try and do good, whether we try and find great alternatives for things, somebody is going to be unhappy. And apparently, in this case, I'm sure there's going to be some tree huggers, and there's going to be some naturalists and some people from PETA, P-E-T-A, getting out and protesting, saying we have to go back to corks. So stay tuned on this and watch the news. I'm sure this is going to get more and more interesting as time goes by. So, Noreen, I realize that's not what you were looking for entirely, but it certainly was interesting to me. All right, we have another email right now. Clint in Waycross. Clint writes, I used to be a screw cap proponent, especially living near the coast. You could chill a bottle, twist the top, and have no hassle. Unfortunately, a few months ago, I bought my favorite wine, which of course was a screw cap, and when I got home, someone had beat me to the twist. From this point on, I will only buy cork-sealed bottles. Well, Clint, I am assuming that what you are saying is that somebody got to your wine before you did, either in the supermarket shelf or back in the supermarket cooler, and unscrewed your wine, took some out, and put it back on the shelf. Well, Clint, I do feel your pain, and I'm sure in another situation I wouldn't make as much fun of you as I'm about to. But ultimately, when you buy a bottle of wine, whether you're buying it from a wine shop, whether you're buying it from a convenience store, whether you're buying it from a Megamark, hopefully you aren't taking it from the bum off the side of the street, you're going to pay attention to the fill in the bottle. And actually, it does bring up a really relevant point. There was an article about this about 3 weeks ago that the FDA was kind of concerned about screw caps. Now, you'll remember the FDA and, of course, the BATF and all these wonderful initial groups are getting together to try and change the way wine is packaged and labeled. But they do have a good point. When you look at the safety standards that are on some of the screw caps that come from the imports, obviously, when you look at a really well-made screw cap, you can tell if the seal has been broken. What happens is once you actually make that twist, a whole little ring falls down and touches the top of the shoulders of the bottle. That way you know that the seal is broken. But on some of the less expensive screw caps that are coming in, some from Australia, some from the south of France, there is no way definitively to tell outside of the bottle fill whether that bottle has been opened. I am sure that somewhere along the lines we are going to see a deterrent towards this, whether it's plastic wrapping the top of the bottles, which, yes, I know, Noreen, that's not going to help it stay green, or whether it's putting some kind of color sealant on it. I think that's going to have to give. But, Clint, you do bring up a relevant point. So to all of our listeners in the Wine Crush, if you're going to buy your screw caps, and I certainly hope you are, please make sure when you pick your bottles up the shelf that you're going to be the first one to tap into that lovely bottle and make sure no one has beat you to the punch. So these were two very interesting points on screw caps I had not heard, and I have great faith that there's a lot more out there that I have yet to encounter. Be the first to enlighten me. Call me, 877-4CRUSH1. Or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or as always, start a discussion board on Facebook, Wine Crush. Because anytime you can see not just for or against on these sides, but find a whole bunch of little arguments why we should or shouldn't be switching, it's always a good time to take a stand, and it's always fun for us to discuss. But as long as we kind of get off on packaging, this is the most interesting thing I have seen in a while. Because some of the screw caps that are coming out, whether they're mostly aluminum like they are, there are some that are coming out that are plastic-based. Well, as much as we have talked back and forth about whether or not plastic is greener because it weighs less or greener because certain types of plastic are recyclable, they have now proven that plastic is not fantastic for wine. This comes from the Brisbane Times. Once again, this is from Australia for a change. It writes, plastic wine bottles may be greener alternative to glass, but they're not particularly friendly to top-notch reds and whites, a study has shown. The study found in the short term, wine stored in glass and plastic tasted similar, but the wine stored in the plastic bottle started to deteriorate after about 8 months and is best consumed within 12 months of bottling. PET bottles are permeable to air, which oxidizes the wine. So what that means is even though the plastic is good for it, it still breathes and the wine gets bad. This is something we have talked about on The Crush before. I don't know about you. You have all the urban legends about not to drink a bottle of water that's been sitting in your car when it's been hot because the water has absorbed some of the chemical compounds. It seems to me that it's almost impossible for any wine packaged in plastic not to absorb some of that flavor or some of that taste. So going back to alternative packaging, whether it's plastic in the Stelvin caps, whether it's plastic in the bottles, ultimately the purist is going to argue for glass and for cork, and I don't blame you at all. When it comes down to if you're going to affect the way my wine tastes, if you are going to take away what that winemaker actually intended when he put it in the bottle, then yes, by all means, let's not change anything. But what we're looking at here when you look at the plastic not fantastic, or you look at the plastic screw caps, or you look at the metal screw caps, they're trying to find a way to make things better. And that's what this country and that's what this world is all about. Anything that can make things a better product or anything that can help us find some sustainability in it is going to be a great thing. So that's my small little diatribe on packaging. But I promise you, I have many more diatribes and many more commentaries. But I have to take a small break right now. So y'all stay tuned and more of The Crush in a moment.
There's more Wine Crush in just a moment.
The days of wine and roses.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Well, today it's actually all about the bottle, the packaging, and everything in between in all its glory, because we are still analyzing the impact of screw caps versus corks. And as I've said time and time again so far in this show and last, please call and let your voice be heard. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Call the wine line. Let's get this poll rolling and see what we actually want BR Cone to do with their packaging. But of course, as I stated in the earlier segment, the whole idea about bringing up the cork versus screw cap, which I think has been beat to death, is something that I have heard different sides of things through emails and through phone calls. And I have yet one more email that has brought a different light to this whole debate. This comes from Gerald in Alberta. Alberta?
Alberta.
We actually, someone listens to us in Canada?
Yes.
Aren't they?
You have listeners all over the world.
Aren't they French?
There's a couple in Norway, they called me the other day. They'll love you.
Very much. Well, because they hate the French, too. But aren't they French Canadians up in Alberta?
I think so.
Okay,
they
good.
They could probably be offended, too, by the time this is over.
If not, I'll fix it after this. All right, Gerald in Alberta. I understand both sides of the screw cap argument. In fact, I side with you in the $50 under category. We'll see. Maybe the French Canadians aren't that bad. But it seems you are forgetting about one purpose of the cork serves, as an anti-counterfeit method. Is there a way to combine the best of both worlds here between the screw caps and the corks? Well, for our listeners, I will go off a little bit on what Gerald mentioned. One of the reasons that corks were picked as a great option to closing bottles, one, they breathed a little bit. Two, they were plentiful. But three, when you started looking at the old Bordeaux first gross and we started looking at the Burgundy Grand Crus and the Premier Crus, they had a problem back in the 1800s with people making fake wine, labeling it either as Gevrey Chambertin or labeling it as Aubryon, and of course it being sold off at the astronomical prices. Even back then, these wines were demanding. So one way that the different wineries tried to get around their wines being bastardized was to start imprinting their names on their corks and to have special corks made. This is why all that started, like when you pull a bottle of Frog's Leap, for those of you who have had, you know that when you pull the little cork, the cork says Ribbit. A lot of the corks you pull today will have the winery phone numbers on it or will have the websites. But that way you know that when the cork went in the bottle, it was actually at the winery. Well, obviously, we have hit a point where if that's the only anti-counterfeit method that wineries have against people who are going to be less than scrupulous, we're in a lot of trouble now. But Gerald, to address your question, number one, when corks are used as anti-counterfeit methods, these tend to be on the expense of bottles. And as I said before, and I will continue to say again, my Bordeaux's and my Burgundies, I don't want to see in a screw cap. I want to see them cork finished. Regardless of whatever the argument is, and the science can go on and on, I still think the cork best serves these wines that are going to lay down 20 or 30 years or more. Secondly, it comes in auction bottles. And Gerald, I don't know about you. I think I've relayed to everybody that the whole extent of my wine collection is a dairy crate stuck in a closet because I drink it faster than I can save it. So it's not really a big issue for me as to whether or not the corks in the bottles are counterfeit. Trust me, we'll tell you that after we pop the cork on it. But third, when you look at the counterfeit methods in a cork, it is generally your high-end auction wines. And I think if you have to get to that point and look at screw caps versus cork, of course the argument is moot all the way around. But to reassure you, I have found another article for me. This is from Wines and Vines. Winesandvines.com has some great different articles from time to time for those of you who'd like to check this out. But DNA markers to foil counterfeiters. A Long Island company has come up with DNA science, and what this science is going to do, it's going to be able to mark the labels of premium wines in such a way that they cannot be removed or copied. These markers will be added to the ink when the labels are printed, and they can be checked for authenticity at any stage along the shipping pipeline. So obviously, someone besides you, Gerald, is looking at the problem that's occurring with counterfeit wines, and this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, all the different packaging. The fact that we are coming up with technology that puts us in a position, one, where we can guarantee the quality of the wine in the bottle, whether it's through a screw cap or whether it's through synthetic quartz, or two, to verify what's actually in the bottle without opening the bottle, I think we are heading in a great direction all the way around. But it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully we can get these guys on the show to talk about how they're going to put DNA markers on the bottle that can't be duplicated. Personally, I figure if you can duplicate a $20 bill, and I figure if you can counterfeit money, people still aren't going to have a hard time duplicating wine in the long run. But it'll be interesting to see what we come from. All right, I'm Laura Lawson, and we are continuing on our small debate about bottles and packaging. But right now, we have to take a small break, and we'll be wrapping up all this glorious information when we return.
Little glass of wine.
Norrie wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he'll let the Germans drink it. He's looking at you, kid.
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and overlimit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping hostess, and we have been having fun recapping our whole packaging show, looking to see whether or not you prefer screw caps, whether or not you prefer corks, whether or not the package matters, whether or not we can counterfeit, not counterfeit, what we are doing, in fact, to impact the market with our screw caps and with our corks. But ultimately, it all comes down to packaging and how something is presented to you. And whether that's in the bottle or whether it's in the barrel, all that matters is whether or not you like it. But, however, it would not be a legendary off-the-cuff Wine Crush show if I didn't get off on a small, tiny, little tangent against the French at this moment. Kent, put your head back up. All right. It seems to me that it's not just the bottles and it's not just the screw caps and it's not just the cork that are causing problems. There are packaging problems everywhere. Packaging. It's not just for bottles anymore. Our favorite people, the French, are at it again. And I find this to just surmise, and we can sum up the whole show and the whole packaging endeavor here. How French are French barrels? Cooperage Group creates Charter to define oak origins for wine barrels. For our listeners out there, just remember, when you start talking about aging wine in oak, generally you hear it's aged in American oak, it's aged in French oak, it's aged in Yugoslavian oak. There are some odds and ends out there besides those, but French and American tend to be the big three. Well, our buddies in France are getting together because they've decided they have to create a common rule and a coherent definition of forests. Okay, a common rule and a complete designation of forest. It seems to me that it should be pretty easy to see the trees through the forest, but what do I know? Anyway, Seguin Moreau Cooperage, they sit on the board of the Federal Frances Tonnerie, the FFT, another whole group of initials. Anyway, it's the Forest Origin and Designation Charter aims to stave off, unscrupulous French cooperages from labeling their barrels with French forest designations when a portion of the wood used may have come from Germany or Eastern Europe. I don't see why this is difficult. I don't see why we have to have a board or a whole group come together. Here's a thought. If you were within the French boundaries and you cut a tree down and you make a barrel out of it, it's French. If you cut a tree down and it's in Germany and you make a barrel out of that, it's German. The fact that our ever-loving French are now lying about what's actually going in their barrels when French oak is supposed to have the great majesty that it does, and all of a sudden we find out that some of the cooperages over there are actually making French barrels out of German or Eastern European oak, that tells you all along that packaging is just that. Packaging is just marketing, and marketing is just a label, and it's designed to help you actually buy more wine. So whether or not the label says French oak, whether or not the top of the bottle is closed by a cork or by a screw cap, it really doesn't matter. What it comes down to is, what do you like? What do you enjoy? And that's really all that matters, and it all should impact you when you're trying to buy a bottle of wine from the shelves. It doesn't mean I still want to hear from you. The poll will be up for another week at winecrush.com to vote for screw cap or vote for cork closures. But in the meantime, I'm going to have to rest my tongue and actually vote myself. So just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. And in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.